and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And you didn't interrupt me this time, thank you.
Because I love you.
I appreciate that.
Isn't it?
And this is the podcast where we talk about our opinions on our favorite movies and TV shows.
And here we are in season 2 of Bridgerton, and we are coming up on episode 6 called
The Choice.
The Choice. So, as always, we are possibly going to have cursing, most likely.
Oh, yes.
And we are going to have spoilers and things from books and all that stuff. But we also are having beverages.
Yes, we are. Really similar book.
Right. So this time we have a sangria. That's what I'm drinking. It's sangria over ice, and I really should have done a better job for the picture, but I just didn't. But you are having non-alcoholic, right?
Yes, as I always do.
Right.
I'm having a non-alcoholic sangria. It's the, me and my best friend, we discovered this in Walmart, and we discovered this, the Welch's sparkling grape juice, but the sangria flavor, we discovered it, and we just fell in love, and we both just love it so much.
It's fizzy. It's nice.
It is fizzy, and it's very, very tasty.
Right.
And it's a great option if you're looking for a sangria, but you don't want it to be alcoholic.
Right. It's also fizzy, which makes me happy. But the regular sangria that I have is actually pretty decent. It might be, like, better with fruit, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's what sangria is, though.
Yeah. It's sweet, it's tasty, and I'm not really sure why we picked it for this episode other than, hey, sangria.
Well, I had the fizzy, non-alcoholic sangria, and I guess maybe you just kind of thought about it.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Either way.
It's like having chai tea with alcohol. So it's like, okay.
We're trying to match up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, at least for these couple episodes, I have a feeling we're going to go off book in the next couple, but
we'll see.
In any case, right, so this episode starts out with the Lady Whistledown voiceover.
Oh, wait, I have to do the recap.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting.
It's fine. The recap for this episode is Antony's duty to his family wars with his desire for Kate. Edwina ponders her future and impresses the queen. Eloise's rendezvous stirs suspicion. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been the recap for last episode, too.
The thing that I love about these recaps is that they never mention the Featheringtons because they're just not worth mentioning.
Yeah, Featherings do something stupid.
We'll get to that in this episode, but
yeah,
whatever.
For sure.
Preparations for the wedding are underway with the queen.
Right, so the queen is doing all the wedding prep. She's, like, got peacocks and fireworks and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She is particularly interested in smoking out Lady Whistledown.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a plan. Apparently, what is his name? Beardsley? The guy.
He doesn't even have a beard.
No, it's like Bingsley, whatever.
Something like that. I don't know if we've ever learned it.
No, she says his name in this episode.
Oh, well, I guess I wasn't paying attention.
I didn't write it down, so oh well. There are going to be footmen assigned to each Lady Whistledown suspect. And the queen's like, hey, let's plant some false rumors.
Yeah, so it's kind of a Tyrion thing where you're going to plant the false rumors to figure out who's informing Lady Whistledown or who is Lady Whistledown.
Which is why my glass says I drink it, I know things. Because
yeah,
we
love that glass.
I do, that's true. So they cut to the Sharmas. They're doing kind of like a bathing or skin ritual for mm-hmm. Edwina and Kate and Lady Mary.
It's cute.
Pre-wedding something. And it is cute. They've got these kind of orangish-yellow dresses and flowers and stuff. It's really pretty. And then, if you haven't been to an Indian wedding, they're really lovely. And it is very complicated, all the rituals that are involved.
And then you go over to the Bridgerton Bros who are drinking and playing pool.
Yeah!
And there's one comment. I love the Bridgerton Bros. The boys!
Yep.
And then also, the thing is that Benedict says something so funny. He's just like, hey, when it, like, Anthony is talking about, oh yeah, you should be glad you're not the firstborn. You guys get to do whatever you want. I have to do step out of duty. And then he's like, once you get married, will you just stop talking about duty? Because, like, everyone else is very tired of it.
Right, right.
It's like, thank you, Benedict.
Right, and he's like, no.
It's like, since that I have more duties after that, no.
No, that's not gonna happen.
I just love the British bros.
They are so funny. But this whole series cuts between the bros and the Edwina and all that.
The girls.
And so Edwina is worried that Antony doesn't look at her enough. And Kate's kind of like, well, I mean, looks can just be about passion. And then Edwina's kind of like, he doesn't have passion for me.
No. But when like, the eyes,
like,
but
so
when an eye, when eyes meet, souls dance.
Right.
Like, it's really cute. It's a really cute, like, sentiment. And she obviously feels that way about Antony.
Right. And it's so funny because then they cut back to the bros. And Antony's like, well, not much is going to change. But I will have the required Viscountess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, not much of my life is going to change, and it's basically going to be the same, which, first of all, is ignorant. Second, it's kind of like, dude. But part of what I love is that Benedict and Colin then talk about, oh, yeah, and then you're going
to
have a child. No.
Oh.
No, they talk about, like, oh, and then you're going to have a child, and he's going to run around and be a little tyrant. Just like little Antony. Like, it's hilarious.
So funny.
And then, you're right, Benedict starts talking about the sister.
And then he's like, to the sister.
And she's like, what? Do they know? Is it, like, all over me? And Anthony's kind of like, he's freaking out. And Benedict's kind of like, you know, it's to the game. Like, you bested the sister, and you know, that's a big deal. And then, for whatever reason, we cut to Lord Featherington and Lady Featherington, and he's flirting with her. And I'm like, no. Just like,
it's
make
not
it
the move.
Stop.
It's not the move.
Please,
it's
no.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting. And Lady Featherington's like, oh, then there's this whole discussion. The Moody shows up and is talking to Penelope, and Lady Featherington's kind of like, oh, can you imagine a woman reduced to running her own business? It's like,
oh, poor her.
Yeah,
like, really?
The horror, really. Okay, fine.
It's not the end of the world. And you see Penelope Tessel's look like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I started some sort of note about Kate next, but I can't remember what it was. So.
Well, first, I also want to, I put down as a note with the pool scene, drinking heavily is a British thing.
For sure.
I just said,
they drink and they know things. I'm telling you. It's a...
I just said the heir is seducing Lady Featherington. Gross.
Yeah,
I think the thing that you were going to say for Kate is that Kate gave Edwina bangles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Kate inherited some bangles from her mother who died, and they are, you know, they're lovely.
Beautiful.
And they are designed, I guess, you know, like, they're meant to be worn in a ritualistic way, like for a wedding.
Yes.
So Kate
gives them to Edwina.
Right. And then, because this is the morning of. This is the morning of the wedding. They cut back over to Hyacinth is chasing Gregory. It's like, he's taking her ribbons.
Mm-hmm. And then Violet's like, don't chase each other. Or, well, actually, just don't catch each other.
Yeah, it's so funny. Colin's hung over, and Benedict, and he's kind of like, oh my god, I can't drink as much as you, Benedict. And Benedict's like, you need to start drinking again.
Because then there's no after. You're just constantly drinking.
Yeah, and Anthony comes out, and he looks perfect.
Oh my god,
his hair is
so perfect.
Good. Right, he does. And Violet's like, you're ready? He's like, I was born ready. He's like, I am Anthony Richardson.
Literally, nobody else was ready but him.
Right, I mean, it's great. And so then they go to, they go actually to where the wedding is, and Lady Danbury and Violet's, the next note I have is, they see each other for the first time since that dinner.
Yeah.
And Violet's still pissed that,
yes,
like, they're keeping secrets about the Sheffield.
I understand that.
I do too. And she's mad at Lady Danbury because it's like, you're my friend, damn it.
And you knew.
Right. And we're supposed to be in this together, like, trying to make this work or not work. I mean, come on. This is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens very briefly. And then Colin and Penelope and Eloise
are talking. They have a cute moment.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm going to be making a name for myself and blah, blah, blah. And He's like, you Colin's like, I'm just really surprised the two of you still hang out together because
you're
so
different.
Yeah, you're so different.
You're sane.
Right. He says, Penelope, you have some sense.
Yeah, and I love it. It's such a cute moment.
It is. But then
I think that's a big moment for them because it makes her so different from his sister, where he's not thinking of her as a sister. That's such a good point. I know, right?
Yeah,
I just thought of that.
Well done.
Good for me.
Yeah. Eloise then has this discussion with Penelope, because Penelope is, like, upset that she's, like, doing the Steva thing.
And I agree.
She has done the right thing. You can tell that they've had several conversations between the time that Penelope saw her, Eloise, and Theo together.
She approached her about it and told her, hey, maybe this isn't the best idea. Maybe you need to be careful, especially considering, like, you don't know who this guy really is.
Yeah.
And Eloise just isn't listening. And it's like, well, I saw Theo yesterday, but nothing happened. What else would happen? We just talked. And I'm like, girl, do you not understand how the world works? Sometimes men are out for something other than your conversation.
And Marina.
Penelope knows this, and she's trying to warn you to be a little wary of that, but Eloise is just so not thinking about that. She's not really thinking about that in general, but, like, Penelope's trying to help and trying to keep you from having more scandals. Don't be an object of scandal or ridicule. Just don't do it. It's not going to make things better. And I think Penelope not only is worried about her friend's safety, but about, like, everybody else finding out about it and then her being an object of ridicule.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, well, she says something later. She's like, did you learn nothing from Lady Mary marrying beneath her station?
Exactly.
It's such a big scandal. You can't.
Regardless of how you feel, there are going to be, regardless of how you feel or what the relationship is, being together is not, or in any capacity, is going to, like, invoke some kind of scandal that is not going to look good for you or your family. Regardless of if it's fair or not, it will happen if that happens.
Right.
Anyway. And she's just looking out for her, and she's trying to be a good friend, but Eloise isn't really having it.
Then we cut to one of my favorite scenes in this entire episode, which is Benedict brushing Anthony's jacket.
Yes!
In, like, whatever waiting room they're in.
We rewound
because I love this so much.
All right, Mom, I'm gonna set the scene.
Do it.
All right, so Anthony is in front of a mirror. Benedict's behind him. Best man. Love it. And he has the brush to brush off any kind of dust or lint or whatever on his jacket. And he has the lint brush in one hand and a drink in the other, and he's just brushing like a normal, like a weird person, like a horse almost, just kind of like not really caring, and then takes a big swig of his drink and then keeps going. And then Daphne comes in, and she's talking about, well, I think that Edwina needs to know the truth or whatever, and I think she's perfectly left. Like, Benedict's like, oh, do you not approve of what's going on?
Yeah, Benedict's like, I'm really confused now.
Well, no, Daphne. Daphne comes in and she's talking about how I was kind of hesitant to come because I was doubting that it was going to actually happen or if it should happen at all. And then Benedict's like, oh, do you not like the future bride or whatever? And she's like, no, she's perfectly fine. I just think she needs to know the truth. And then
absolutely.
And then Benedict kind of looks back and forth between them as like, wait.
Something's going on here.
Wait, I'm confused. Am I missing something? And then Anthony's like, just go.
Yeah, get out of here. I need to talk to the Duchess.
No, and then Benedict starts to leave. He stops, sees Daphne, like, looks at Daphne, and then just sets the brush down and then leaves.
Right, and so they have this discussion, and I love the way the Bridgertons, because it's the same kind of language, what of the sister?
Mm-hmm.
So Daphne, you know, talks about what of the sister. It's not like, hey, how about Kate? It's like, what of the sister?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's because she's so, like, an object, I guess, in the way they converse. It's weird.
I never really thought about it like that. But, like, yeah, they always just call her the sister.
Right.
But that's all that they think that she is to Anthony.
They think it's just another one of his hormone situations, which, it's an Anthony thing. But Daphne goes to fix his tie and starts talking about their father. Mm-hmm. And says, you know, Anthony, that's the only person you would ever listen to. And he gets very defensive. Yeah, he's very defensive and angry with her.
It's like, my father spoke to me in a different way than he did to you, so don't bring that up. Don't try to talk to me like you are him. It's not going to work.
Right, and so then she says, well, look, I was here the whole time. You stopped laughing when Dad died.
You changed completely. You thought only of duty and all of your expectations when you became the new Viscount. It's understandable, yes, but you need to open yourself up to happiness. You are allowed to make that choice. And thank God Daphne says it, because right. no one else was,
right.
other than her, Violet, and some kind of, not really Lady Danbury. But, like, I feel like Daphne's finally voicing everybody's frustrations, and I love it. Thank God for Daphne.
Right.
And Daphne's just like, you can choose to be in love. You can choose
it's
happiness.
It's not a luxury.
It's not a luxury. It's not something you just get. You can choose to do it. It's a choice, and he's not, and you're not making it, Auntie.
Right, but Auntie also, and he says the way this exchange works, his response is like, look, I'm fighting for the family that I already have. I've got to maintain this. I've got to make sure that it happens. All the work I have done and ensured that you were able to marry Duke. I did all this stuff. And you, what she said is, you are not making decisions. The decisions you make don't make you worthy of your family's respect.
We pity you.
Just our pity.
Yeah, she literally says she pities him.
But they all do, according to her.
I think another thing is that that kind of makes me, like, obviously I'm on Daphne's side. Obviously, we've been voicing these opinions this entire time. But also, I feel like, now just thinking about it, Anthony doesn't need the diamond. He doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need anything. He can choose whoever he wants. Here's Kate, who's of a perfectly reasonable,
appropriate
station, who has all of the stuff that he's looking for. In a Viscountess, because she knows what she's doing, and also as a person, on a personal level, you have everything there, and he's choosing not to choose her because of some kind of role in society, and
it's
bullshit.
It's weird to me. I think there's almost this weird blindness on Antony's part, like, you know, like he went through this whole hormone thing with Sienna last season, and I think that, you know, he's worried that, you know, my hormones are blinding me to Kate's, you know, like, being appropriate. I don't know. It's such an odd thing that he can't see that you can choose this.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose this. And, you know, Daphne is, like, trying to, like, put it in his face, like, dude, stop it.
Choosing to be miserable and choose happiness.
Right, but
it's kind of like with Simon. She had the same fight with Simon where he was choosing not to be happy.
Right.
And she had to force his, like, just, oh my God, she had to, like, just grab his head and be like, listen, you can be happy.
Yeah,
and
it's
what we all want to do. We want to shake him and be like, you can be happy, just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, it's right in front of you, just do it. You're both happy. You would be both happy. You're fine.
Right. It's so crazy. So, they just cut then to Edwina.
She looks gorgeous.
She really does. I mean, she's such the actress is just, like, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
She's got the bangles on and
she gives them to Kate.
Right. She's like, look, these are yours. I want you to have them. And then they
go to the wedding.
Right. So they're playing What About Us? It's a Pink song, and you will recognize the tune even if you don't recognize, like, the words or whatever.
Yeah, I don't recognize the words. I recognize the tune.
But, you know, Anthony comes in. He looks lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Daphne
and Violet do not look happy.
No, they're just like, I cannot believe this. Please make it stop.
They're just on edge to see if anything's going to go to shit.
And some things happen.
And then Kate walks down the aisle, and I wrote down, it feels right.
She does. She does. She does look lovely.
It feels right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she does look lovely, but it's her going down the aisle. Anthony sees her, and it feels right.
Yeah.
It feels like that should be the thing that's actually happening, but it's not. And then you got Edwina and Lady Mary walks down the aisle. It's adorable. I loved that.
Well, and Edwina looks amazing.
She looks amazing, and then you see the smile on Anthony and Kate's face, and they're very happy that she's happy.
Right, exactly. And
not
so,
necessarily about the situation, but they're happy that she's happy.
Right. And so Anthony, like, they start the actual ceremony, and Anthony keeps looking at
Kate.
Because the Archbishop is talking about, this is not something you should enter into for carnal, lustful reasons.
And I'm just
like, oh my God!
Did they change things? Like,
I don't remember that language.
I don't remember that being the vows, the regular vows, but maybe things were different during Regency era England.
I don't know.
Maybe
they
talked about
reminded.
That kind of stuff.
We need to remind you.
Or maybe that's what AFC's hearing.
Right. So
maybe that's just what he thinks he's hearing.
Right.
He starts envisioning Kate being his bride.
Right, in the wedding dress, and no one else is there.
It's just her, and that's all that matters.
Edwina starts to pick up on, like, She something's gone wrong.
Yeah, no, you know? he misses a cue to for the vows, and he's not reciting them. And Edwina notices that he's looking at Kate, and he's just like, and she's just like, the Archbishop wants you to repeat. And then he's just like, oh, yeah. And she's like, fuck. And right. then Kate, she's getting nervous. She's about, like, during the entire eye contact, she's kind of like messing with the bangles. Yeah. And the bangle falls off. And then it's a whole thing. And then she bends down to get it, and Angie bends down to get it. It's a whole thing where they're holding hands briefly, and they're both like reaching for it.
Everyone can see.
And Angie is just like, allow me, and puts it on her wrist.
Right. And Edwina's like, oh my God, how
she
did that?
She literally says, my God.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, I need a minute, and then yeah. She leaves.
She runs away.
As she should. She exactly. realizes everything. She realizes what happened.
Well, and the queen is pissed off, but the fireworks go off.
The fireworks go off.
Hello?
It's like a Princess Diaries 2 situation where everyone thinks that the wedding's over, but, like, it's not.
No, wait. So Edwina then, like, demands the truth of Kate.
She finally stands up for herself, and good for her.
Exactly. I'm so proud of her.
Good for Edwina.
So, and she sees that Kate has feelings for Antony, and she calls Kate out for lying, which,
yeah.
Hello, Kate, and Kate doesn't even, at that point, want to admit, she's like,
are you in love with him? And then Kate's like, Edwina, and this is like, that's all I need to know. That's mm-hmm. all I need to hear. I know the truth now. And I wrote down, Edwina's actress is acting the shit out of this scene. She is so good.
She is. I mean, she's getting teary a little
bit. She has like, all the range of emotions that Edwina is feeling right now, and she nails it. It's
yeah, she
so
does a great
good.
Job. Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't think I gave her full credit for that, but yeah. I mean, she goes from being a little kid.
No, she's been playing the naive, innocent little girl. And now she's truly seeing the truth, and she wanted to know the entire time.
Right. And so the queen, like I said, Lady Mary's pissed at Kate. She's
and
like,
tells her to leave.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to make anything better. It's like, anywhere but here, Kate, just go.
Right.
You've lied about so many things. Just leave right now.
So she hides in a closet.
Yes. And then I wrote down, I love the Bridgertons, because they all go in and they're asking questions, and then... Then Eloise is like, well, maybe she just realized that marriage is a stupid institution, blah, 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 blah. And then Colin's like, must you be so you? And
yeah,
I was like, thank you, Colin.
Stop it.
And then Gregory's like, maybe she just needed to change it to a different dress. And then Hyacinth was like, that dress was beautiful.
Yeah, like,
and I'm
like, stop it. Yeah, but Benedict finally is like, maybe Antony needs a respite. What do you think?
Yeah.
Let's just kind of...
Give him some time.
Yeah, give him a little time.
I think he stands up for Antony. I love the Bridgertons.
I love them. And so Antony makes eye contact with Daphne before he leaves
mm-hmm.
the room. And Violet's like,
Violet's like, you may be a duchess, but you're still my daughter. I know you know something.
You're gonna tell me, damn it. Which,
and
yeah,
let me
tell you right now, it's going to happen at
I
some
must
point.
Say, I think Benedict might be one of my favorite characters in this entire season. He's just so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
given the time, but he's also given the material that I think that he deserves.
Oh,
and
he
I
does,
love it.
He does.
He does
and
it
I,
so
I didn't,
well.
I didn't actually say it with the Barsh thing, but he chews every
he
bit
chews
of that
everything,
scene.
And
like,
he's so great
good.
With every scene he's in, regardless
yeah, he really
of who
is.
It's with. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's not just when he's at his art thing. It's less boring to me. Because he actually has something to do with the art thing that's not like just some boring art shit, but like he's also doing all this stuff with his family, and I love seeing him with the family, and
right.
they're finally giving him all this material to work with, and it's so fun seeing his different interactions with each of his siblings. Every single one of his siblings, you get to see an interaction with them, and it's so great, except for Francesca. She's not there
because
she's at her fucking brother's wedding.
She wasn't at Daphne's wedding either. This is all bullshit. It's bullshit.
No,
Francesca
maybe,
does not
but,
exist
but maybe but the thing,
she was a
okay.
figment when
one,
I saw
no,
her
one
before
thing, one
F for figment
One thing that I will say is that for Daphne's wedding, she was in Bath. However, she's probably in... Well, actually, I don't know where she is. After Aubrey Hall for 2 seconds.
She's in the woods! I'm telling you!
Without her vest on, she's bleeding out!
That's right. That's exactly right. She's bleeding out in the woods that they haven't even checked. Like, you can count to 8. Come on, Violet. Do a little bit better than this.
You can count to 8? That's like... I thought. Never mind.
No, it's 8.
Francesca doesn't count.
Francesca doesn't count. She exists.
Does she?
I believe.
All right. Okay, sorry. I just realized that she wasn't at the wedding, so I had to mention it.
Such
that's what I do. I'm a Francesca stan. Not stan, but I'm confused on where she is. It's like a Where's Waldo, but you'll never solve it.
It's true. So the Queen and Lady Danbury are having a discussion about this failed wedding and how it's like Lady Danbury's fault, and they talk about, you know, Lady Whistledown, and you know, he's gonna make a pay out of it or whatever, and like, I don't care much.
I don't care either. I only put that the queen is scared that she'll look bad.
Right. And then, she sends all the guests to the garden. Yes. Which, you know, it's like, that, again, it's like, okay.
I think that's a good idea.
Don't let anyone leave. I mean, she's
I think that's a good idea. I think maybe starting the reception early so that they don't get restless and, like, doing whatever.
The natives are restless. The natives are restless. Yeah, like,
well,
okay.
Anyway, Eloise wants to go see Theo, and Penelope is like, no.
Oh, no.
This is your brother's...
There's stuff before that.
Well,
come
I
on.
Don't care about
oh,
it.
Oh, fine.
It's the Featheringtons, isn't it?
Yes, it's
Featheringtons.
I knew it. It's Featheringtons.
This is why I didn't write it down, mother.
Yeah, but, and there's all this
I think
bullshit.
I got a snack. Oh, no, I think I got a snack during this
You
part.
Did. So, you did. But the Featheringtons, there's this discussion about the necklace, and you know, like, Prudence needs to show off the necklace, and her mother yells at her and says, you need to get out there and be grateful at least you have some prospects, unlike Penelope. It's like, you are just so... I just want to slap the shit out of Lady Featherington. I hate
Don't
her.
Don't we all?
Yeah, and so... Then we go to Eloise talking about, oh, Theo this and Theo
I'm
that.
I'm going to go see Theo now. I'm like, and Penelope's like, this is your brother's wedding. And
yeah,
then she's just like, whatever, nobody's
this.
Paying attention. And, and then a guard sees her leave.
Well, right, but Eloise also says something, and I think it shows a little bit of why she is so, like, absorbed with this. Like, she's like, you know, I have these thoughts and I want to share them with him and I want to see if he has feelings for me, and you know, just like every little bit of conversation I just go over and over and over in my head, and you know, I just want to see if he has feelings for me, you know, and you know, test it out and all that kind of stuff. And Penelope's like, yeah, I wouldn't know what that's about, and she's staring at Colin like across
Aww.
The way across the bushes. It's like,
I think I was writing it down.
Oh my gosh.
That's
so sweet.
No, yeah. And I think the thing is like, Eloise is finally seeing somebody not just as a peer, but also maybe as something more. And
yeah.
as an equal.
Or somebody, like, she could actually be interested.
Yes.
In.
And it's
yeah,
nice
I appreciate
to see her
that.
Like that.
I appreciate that part of it. I feel like she has done so much disservice to... people who actually would be her peers.
And then
like,
she's
going to
be a hypocrite about it and be
yeah.
like, I'm interested in him like this. And it's just like, yeah, bitch, you are. Or, do you want to get married? Mm. It's like, no. It's like, well, then what do you want to do? Just hang out with him for the rest of your life? Because that's marriage, bitch. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Oh, wait. No, that's a trap. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
that's
it's like, oh, it's forever. It's a trap. It's like, oh, stop it. Just fucking stop it.
You
anyway.
Can still be equals in a marriage. That's bullshit.
Yeah,
anyway,
definitely.
That's the whole point of a marriage, I think.
Yep.
That's what
yeah.
That's how I
goal.
Was raised. That's how I was raised.
Amen, sister.
Love you, mama. Anyway.
Love you, too.
Then, and then Penelope's basically just like, hey, listen, you shouldn't leave. It's your brother's wedding. I'm like, yeah, exactly. But at least she's here, unlike Francesca. But like... I just imagine Francesca.
And Eloise is like, no one would miss me. It's like, they might miss you, but we don't miss Francesca.
Like, even asks. That's what, like, if I'm just imagining Lady Whistledown always has a column called, Where's Francesca Now? And it's just like, possible about where she might be.
Exactly.
Because no one knows.
Funny. That would be funny.
Not even Violet knows.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
I think that, anyway, moving on from that. But, like, she... Eloise leaves to go see Theo, and a guard sees her.
Yeah,
one of
the
footmen
sees
her.
Yeah, and that's uncool. But then we cut to Antony wanting to talk to Edwina. And Edwina's like, look, I don't want any more lies and half-truths.
Yes.
Y'all have been lying to me. And so...
She finally says she doesn't want to be lied to, she wants to know what he actually wants. And then he's just like, I think our places are what we share instead of love. And then he's just like, because you love me. And then he's just like, I understand you.
And I sympathize with you.
And I'm like, bitch, that ain't love.
Well, she knows what she's hearing.
Yeah.
She's like, wow, that's not love. And then Edwina's
like, you don't love me. And she's like, then what the fuck is the point of this?
Right. And so she's like, well, what of my sister?
Yeah.
And he's like, she's a thorn easily removed, and she has no place in our lives, and blah, blah, blah. We will be free of her.
Oh, my God. And the way he says he'll be free of her. Bullshit.
Oh, bullshit. Exactly.
Bullshit.
And then Edwina's like, look, a scandal. I mean, I see what's going on here, and you see, it would be a scandal, but that's not a reason for us to marry.
Yeah.
And, you know, amen to that,
to avoid
sister.
A scandal is not a reason to marry.
Right. And so...
Well, a certain, this kind of scandal, yeah, this is bullshit. You can, this scandal is easily overcome. I don't think that... Like, the thing with, like, Daphne and Simon, that was a different kind of scandal.
Yeah.
Like, the scandal would have absolutely completely ruined her. However, right. This scandal is just like, oh, he's interested in the sister, not the girl. Yeah. All right. Whatever. And what they'll move on.
Yeah, exactly. It won't last long. No. I mean, but, you know, whatever. So then, Kate is crying in the closet.
Yes. And then she decides to leave the closet.
Oh, she's coming out of the closet.
Not like that.
And she sees Anthony.
And then she runs back into the closet. And this
and
is
he
the
follows
no,
her.
This is my favorite line. This is one of my favorite lines of this. Of this. And she's just like, you cannot come in here. This is my place of refuge. And he's like, a closet?
She's like, it's what I've got, damn it!
It's so funny. I love it. I love their banter so much.
But then there's like the panting and the staring at each other and they touch hands.
No, but it's
like,
because she's about to leave, and then he grabs her hand and he's like, please stay, please. And it's such a genuine look from him. And I'm just like, stay. Just don't do this bullshit. Just kiss or something.
Yeah,
oh my God, just do it.
Just fucking
get
do
on
it.
With
I,
it.
I wrote down like more breathing and fuck shit.
That's the whole, like, that's the tagline of this season. More breathing and fuck shit. Seriously, that's entirety of Bridgerton season 2, and it makes me so sad.
It makes me sad, too, because
the actors are doing so well, and they could be doing so much
right,
more.
And you know they could, and that's part of what's making me
and
angry.
And you see that there's something that they could do there, and they just
don't
do it.
They choose not to. That's what the writers and the directors did. So
whatever.
Fuck those guys.
That's
Violet
stupid.
And Lady Amber start talking, and Lady Amber
starts laughing.
Right, like Lady Amber is like, the queen wants me to fix this, and I can't fix it. I don't know what to tell her.
I wrote down they laugh at this shit show of a wedding.
Yeah, it's like, yeah,
and the peacocks and all the bullshit that
the
queen had out, and it's so funny.
Yeah,
and then
Kate tries
Kate
to make up to Edwina.
No,
again.
But she actually does admit that she had feelings for Anthony.
Right.
Finally.
But she's like, they're over. I'll deny them for you because I love you.
That's not
more.
What Edwina wants,
no,
bitch.
And
she
Edwina,
wants you to be
Edwina
happy.
Actually is like, finally like, look, fucking stop it. Why me, not you? You don't have a good reason. If I marry him, it's got nothing to do with you. But again, it's like, why are we having this discussion of if I marry him? You've already decided. You know.
You already know.
Right? You knew like 2 hours ago, and that's why I have a giant yawn. Like, I mean, get on with it.
Like, you knew the answer as soon as you left him at the altar.
Exactly.
Like,
so
there's a reason why you left him at the altar in the first fucking place. Just go.
Yeah.
Keep running.
Yeah, they cut
to go to Lumley. He has some poetry he can read you to make you feel better.
And, you know, you've got a little... There's a little scene that comes up later where you can see that poetry probably would have an effect on Edwina that it would never have on Kate. And so it's kind of like, cool. So,
she likes words. She doesn't love the... Well, she wants action, but she loves words.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so they go... they cut to outside. Cressida has a really beautiful dress on. I mean, I just...
Yeah,
I love
but she is also a bitch.
She
so.
Is a bitch. And she's spreading the fake news that is
fake news.
That is being spread by the Billingsley or whatever his name is.
Beardsley. The fuck shit.
Right, so he's like,
FS
hey,
for short.
Hey, the honeymoon wasn't going to be cool enough, and that's why she ran away.
No,
like, okay.
FS for short.
Yeah,
fuck
shit.
Shit.
Right. So,
that's all he is, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and so then we go to Lord Featherington lying about the mines,
mm-hmm.
and Will hears it. And, of course, Will has heard some fuck shit from the Featheringtons before, and he's like,
Yeah, he recognizes it as fuck shit.
Oh, and
that's gonna be the word of this episode of the podcast. Fuck shit. Sure. FS.
So Lord Featherington and Lady Featherington go into some room and they start talking about it. Like, Lady Featherington doesn't want him to sell this to the Bridgertons because of whatever. And then he gets flirty with her again, and I'm like, just fucking no. Just no. This is just so, like, no. Mm-hmm. No, there's just, like, so much wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Violet, Lady Amory, and the Queen. And
they're talking about stuff.
Yeah, it's not much. And then Edwina and Lady Mary come in, and then the King comes in.
Yeah.
And he's, like, in his nightshirt with a jacket on and a wig. He's got a wig on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, is there going to be more fireworks?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so childlike. And it's just, like, and then he has to be, they start to remove him.
And he's calling for Charlotte, the queen.
Lottie.
And Lottie. And she just has this cold expression on her face because she knows that he's not really there.
Right. And so Edwina steps in. She clearly, like, gets the room,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you gotta give her some points for that. And she says all the right stuff about, you know, like, oh, you know, this is gonna turn out great. She's such a lovely queen. You're gonna do great together.
I know you guys had some bumps in the road during your courtship, but everything was worth it, right?
Right.
But then I also love, one thing that really does break my heart is that Violet can't even look at this. Violet is looking away.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
No, she's looking away when he's being taken away because she just can't stand it because she knows that they were a love match. They do love each other, and she just can't bear to see, like, these people be like that. And
right.
I noticed that, and I was like, oh, God, that breaks my heart.
That is sad. But the queen gets teary. I mean, she's making eye contact with the king, and they're both a little bit teary. And then, you know, Edwin is like, well, you know, why don't you get some rest before you start your reign with
mm-hmm.
your lovely queen or something along those lines? And he's like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she basically talks him down, and it is really well
it's
done.
It's really sweet.
And, you know, everyone's kind of like, damn, Edwina's got some stones. You know, it's like, and I'm thinking that too, like, because all of this time she hasn't been herself.
Yeah.
And finally she kind of, you know, she has so much growth in this one episode. Like, you know, way more than Kate's had in the whole fucking season. Because Kate's like, I still want to beat the shit out of her. Antony's had, like, way more growth over the season. He's had growth, like, over the two seasons because we've seen him. But, yeah, I'm looking at Edwina and, you know, she grows, like, and becomes an adult in this. And you start to think, like, this
she's
is
talking
totally
the king down. I mean,
right,
Jesus
right.
Christ,
so here is somebody. And that's something that Kate couldn't do.
No, she couldn't talk down him.
Talk
him down like that.
No,
no,
I mean,
because
she
I feel
has
like she
skills.
Would have. She, yeah, she has plenty of skills, but Edwina has different ones, and I'm glad that they're acknowledging that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, then we cut to. Now this is where when Eloise leaves. So,
oh, this is?
Yeah, Colin is, right, Edwina says something about she understands, and it's clear to me, she understands what love and compassion should be in a marriage. Because she sees this, and she's like, she's getting like, I'm not going to get this.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen.
This is not what I'm
going to
get out of this marriage.
Right, so then we cut to outside, Colin's drinking,
mm-hmm.
Penelope comes up, and he's talking about his purpose, and Penelope's like, well, I'm looking for my purpose, too.
Yeah, my purpose is going to be this, that, and the other. It's
and she's very, but she's very specific. She's like, my purpose will challenge me to be brave and witty. And Colin's kind of like,
he's
got,
impressed.
Right, you've got grander dreams than I would have expected.
The way he looks at her is completely different now.
Right, and she's like, oh, we have to have these moments to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We have to have.
No, I don't express
things.
Them that often, but.
Yeah, it's how I get by, basically,
yeah.
is what she says.
The thoughts of my dreams coming true is what gets me by.
Right, and Colin is surprised, as you said, and he says, you know, Marina was right, that Penelope cares for Colin
mm-hmm.
and will always be there for him, basically. And he's like, he's getting finally that's true, and Penelope's like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, that's great.
I do want to mention, before the whole, I don't know why I didn't mention this at the time, but when Kate and Edwina
are talking, and she's just, and Mia's basically like, stop with all the lies. She calls her half-sister.
Ooh,
rather than her sister.
Yeah.
Kate's like, I'm your sister, and she's like, half-sister. And I'm like, oh, bitch, that hurts. But honestly, Kate deserves it in that moment because she's been a bitch.
Right, she has earned that.
I wrote it down because it really just like it
diminished
hits
family
so hard.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's like, yeah, you don't care about me the way that you ought to. Where you've been claiming to.
You
all
haven't
this
been
time.
A sister. You have been a half sister.
Right. You have been
in more sense of the word than its actual meaning.
Right. So. Penelope tries to chase Eloise. Eloise leaves, and the footman sees. Edwina is looking at the crown jewels, and the queen comes in, and they discuss that. And one of the things that I like about this is that the queen talks about
why she chose her as the diamond.
Well, right, but she also talks about love is not like a crown.
Mm-mm.
Love changes. It is not a static thing.
It's fickle.
It's fickle, and you know that's
you have
just,
to roll with the punches.
Absolutely.
And if you do that with the one you love, it's easy.
Right. So then there's a Lady Whistledown voiceover about marrying being a human ritual. And there are letters being delivered on silver platters, which I know you love, which would make me think that they're coming from the queen, but they're not.
What do you mean that I love?
You love the fact that...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the letter is being delivered
I forgot, because, like, it's so useless. Just handed the fucking letter.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A fucking piece of paper. Just...
Well, but it stays nicer if you put it on a silver platter.
Are we just... So, no, I think the fact that the incident that we're talking about is when a... Violet receives an invitation from the queen last season.
Yeah.
And it's literally delivered, like, in its own carriage with a fucking, platter. And it's just like, here! And it's so funny to me. It's so funny.
Right.
Anyway.
So we have letters being delivered on silver platters.
And then
basically it's Antony and Kate are being told to go to the chapel.
But they think it's the other is sending for each other. So
right.
Kate thinks... Antony has summoned her to the chapel, and he thinks the other way around.
And it's Edwina,
like a boss-ass bitch.
And she's like, look, I'm going to tell both of you.
I'm not getting married to Antony.
Yep, not happening.
I'm not going to let this happen, and I'm going to make this decision for myself.
I deserve love.
Because I deserve love and not just a role in someone else's life. It's more than that. And I I've never really truly known love, but I know what it isn't.
Right, and she turns to Kate, she's like, you have no control over me anymore.
Amen, sister.
Right,
thank
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
You gained all your agency in one episode, congratulations.
I will take it. And then Edwina leaves.
Mm-hmm. Leaves Kate and Antony alone.
Right, the guests are being, I guess, allowed to leave because Violet's out in the garden.
Yeah.
And she overhears a bunch of gossip, and Daphne kind of comes to like her rescue and is like, oh, let's go.
Let's go. We're going to leave. It's a united front.
Yeah.
Fuck those bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Because, of course, it's the Cowpers.
Fuck this shit.
Yeah, fuck these people.
And then, and then you see, and then you go back to, sorry. You go to Eloise.
With the...
I mean,
it's actually kind of cute.
It's really cute. I really
like
it.
I want to share thoughts with you.
Well, she's like, well, I've had all these thoughts. Whenever I read a thought-provoking thing, I always think of when I'm going to share it with you. And I was wondering if you have thoughts about me. And he's like, he brings out these books. It's like, I read these and I thought of you when I read them. And I want to share them with you. And she's just like, okay. Okay. And it's really cute.
And then you go
to Antony and Kate, and they're talking, and she's just like, well, what are we going to do? And, like, as soon as we leave this room, we have to face the reality of all the failures that we've
Antony says something in this that I really like. He's
what?
Like, you know, Edwina's stronger than both of us. Because both of us have known us all along, and we haven't acted on it. Like,
no, I wrote down...
I have been saying this
since episode
one.
I wrote down, Antony finally acknowledges his inaction.
Right. Right. Which, again, in the books.
Didn't
have in the books.
Whatever.
So,
it's happening now, and I'm glad that he mentions he's like, at least she's acting on something, and we haven't.
Right. So Kate's like, oh, we failed, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, she wants it. you know, to like spend time with Antony, and then like, I want to spend time with you. Goodbye. And it's like,
she's just,
shit.
Well, no, she's talking about how they have to face their failures when they leave that room, and she doesn't want to leave, but she is going to, and she's like, goodbye, Lord Bridgerton. She doesn't leave. She doesn't even move to leave. They lock eyes, and then they start making out, and I'm like, finally!
Yeah, really. I mean, and it's good.
At last! It's so good. And then they don't even... I thought it was going to end with her walking away from him. No, they just stand there staring at each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, perfect way to end this episode.
Right, that was good.
It should have ended like that in another episode three episodes ago.
There you go. That would have been a better answer. Like, in the freaking library at Aubrey Hall, people.
Or in the fucking garden.
Yeah, right, exactly. That would have been excellent. Fine. All right,
well, but no, that's the end of the episode.
So, best part to me might be the kissing. I do like when they finally get together. It's like, fucking finally.
I have two.
I'm thinking, why don't you give me your two, and I'll see if that...
I just wrote down Edwina. Yeah. All of Edwina. Because she's finally having agency and being a boss-ass bitch. Okay. And the kiss. I wrote... Sorry, it auto-corrected to the kids. And I was like, that's not it.
Not yet.
No.
That's a little Antony tyrant that's running around.
Right. No, the kids.
Yeah, that was good. I liked both of those things. I would say the kiss is better for me than the other parts of it. But there's a lot of fuck shit. There's a lot.
Not as much as in the last episode.
But there is, Natalie. There is just a whole lot of fuck shit in this episode. You're forgiving it.
Yes.
But I, you know, there's just this like bullshit Featherington shit. There is, and I agree that the Eloise thing is a little better in this episode, but it's still, you know, like, most of what's happening at the actual wedding is just stupid.
What about the worst part?
Right, so, well, that really is my worst part, is, like, there
the
is
fuck shit?
The fuck shit, yes.
Can you be slightly more specific?
Like, the breathing again, and just, like, it's just dumb. I mean, and God, how long does it fucking take from the time Edwina makes the decision to, like, we actually get to leave this fucking wedding? I mean, like, come on, it's just dumb. And so, I didn't feel like the speeches and stuff necessarily made up for that. I mean, I know that there are some good speeches in there. I don't feel like it made up for what we were seeing. And so I was very disappointed in that.
Well, my least favorite part were the Featheringtons.
As usual.
It's basically becoming...
Oh my God, that whole fucking bullshit flirting thing.
It's
fucking
so stupid.
Stop it. That is just the worst.
It's dumb. Overall, we do letter grades. Do you have a letter grade prepared, or do you want me to go first? Because I know you're going to disagree with me.
I'm going to give it a C-.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I gave the last episode a C-.
Yeah, and I gave it a D, so, you know, or a D+. I might have given it a D.
You said D+ or C- for the last episode.
There is a lot I don't like about this episode.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, what'd you give it?
A B+. Okay, I mean,
maybe I'll give it a C.
No, maybe you don't have to. No, Bob, that's not the point of me telling you. The whole point of me telling you is that we have different opinions, and that's the point. But I don't want you to change your opinion because of what I say.
No, it's probably not as bad as I'm thinking. It's better than the last episode.
I think
episode,
the thing
definitely.
That really pulls it up, and I originally put an A-, but it's more of a B+. But I think that this is one of my favorite episodes of the season.
It's
one of my favorite episodes because they finally are honest with each other, and and finally Edwina has some agency, and she actually makes up her own mind, and I love seeing that. And the whole thing, and some of the subplots seemed less unnecessary and seemed a little bit more normal. And I liked the thing with the king and the queen. I liked the stuff with Theo and Eloise. I liked everything but the Featheringtons. I loved the kiss that they finally kissed. Oh my God, it took forever. But I think that I agree, and I love the family dynamics in this episode. They really shine.
There are some good ones.
But I think that it does hold back because you don't really see, you mostly see Edwina in this episode, and it's mostly her trying to make up her mind even though it's already made up. And I agree it's annoying, But I think that her telling everyone off about how she's finally figuring things out for herself is really endearing for me, and it really does help me as a person to be like, oh my god, fucking finally. And it's finally, I feel like something has paid off, and I feel like that's a little bit more complete. It does take too long, but I think I just enjoyed it a lot more.
Mm. Well, and, you know, again, there are some beautiful parts of this. Yes. I will give you that. I felt like the pacing was very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the pacing this entire season has been very, very slow. Mm-hmm. And the obstacles have been stupid. And it's like, I'm not as impressed.
That's the thing. There are no obstacles. Just fucking right? Dump her.
There aren't. What the fuck? What are we doing?
I think that's going to really bug me next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no obstacles anymore. Not even her sister's.
And yet we have two episodes to go. Two whole episodes.
I am aware, Bobby just said that like five times.
I said, the pacing is just so off in this season for me.
Join us for the next episode,
which is what?
It's called Harmony.
Oh, Harmony. Harmony.
You're not going to harmonize with me.
Fine. Just because you're mad about my stupid letter. Because you don't like my letter grade for this episode.
That's not why.
All right, so join us for a harmony, like, because we're going to have harmony next time.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not either.
Anyway, join us and cheers.